Thank you, Lena. One of my images of peace is to be lying, maybe nude, in a field of tall grass and listening to your music. A remote field. We often use models and slogans to regulate our behavior. Slogans like, pull aside, stay alive, do no harm, be true to yourself, don't let anybody steal your joy, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And my personal favorite, get off the cross, somebody else needs the wood. These phrases create memories and pictures in our mind. As our boundaries and values become stronger, the words get longer. We often refer to these statements as covenants, focus, or mission statements. Statements like, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, or on my honor, I promise to do my best to do my duty, and God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Each Sunday, we repeat our covenant, which includes the words, to dwell together in peace. It is closely followed by to seek knowledge and freedom and to serve others in community. While these last two are noble and passionate, they rest on the peace statement. The key words here are together, dwell, and peace. Together, according to Webster, is to be in or into one place or group, in contact or associated at one time, simultaneously to think, talk, and work in succession, in harmony, in coherence, in a group, to be composed in mind and manner. Today's technology makes it possible to be apart and yet be together. The Indivisible and Women's Movement host simultaneous events by means of Facebook, text, and tweet. Technology allows our loved ones to hold us in prayer and thought when we're going through a crisis. Dwell is to go astray, to hinder, to abide, to remain, to reside, to exist, to keep the attention directed, to think and speak or write insistently. To dwell together in peace means we must do our work first, our personal work first, exploring our boundaries and values against our personal experiences, learning to set personal goals, learning to love ourselves. For only when we love ourselves can we seek knowledge and freedom and serve others in community. When I taught health, I encouraged my students to be at peace with themselves. I encouraged them to be loving of themselves. To illustrate this, I would give a quiz on the first day of school. On that quiz, the most important question was to list the three most important people in their lives. Some students listed their parents, their grandparents, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, and even God. The students that included themselves in that list earned an A. All other students earned a B. This quiz led to a lively discussion about who is God? Is he a person or a deity? There were students that earned an A that generally got C's and D's. And students that always got A's ended up getting a B. Those students had to realize that a B is not the end of the world. This was only one of 20 to 25 tests or quizzes that they would have during the semester. They still had an opportunity to earn an A overall. But the underlying point was that if you don't love yourself, it is hard to support the loved ones in your life. To dwell together in peace, we must engage with others and follow a few guidelines. One guideline is to understand the personalities of the people you are working with and how their skills can help you reach your goal. The Winnie the Pooh children's series educates adults in cooperative learning and interaction. In your program, there is a survey to identify a few of the personalities. I would suggest that you take this home, make a copy of it, and then take the survey. You make a copy so that you can share it with someone else. On the survey, there is a statement in each of the sections. I want you to read the section, and then there are some words left to the left of a small box. Read those words, and then rank yourself 1 to 4 in the small box. 1, if those words are least like you, and 4, if they are most like you. The goal is not to get the highest score. The goal is to be honest with yourself. If, when you get done doing this, you're going to add up all the scores in the vertical columns, okay, and then put your total score down here. Okay, if you have 2 vertical columns that are within 2 to 4 points, that means that you have a split personality. And that you could act in either case depending upon the circumstances. The first column is harmony, or Pooh Bear. The second column is production, or the rabbit. The third column is connection, happy, fun, or Tigger. The fourth column is status quo, or Eeyore. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it states that to everything there is a time and a season, for every activity under the heavens. For harmony, there is a time to heal, a time to break down. For production, there is a time to build up, a time to cast stones away. For connection, there is a time to laugh and a time to keep silent. For status quo, there is a time to plan, to plant, a time to seek change. It may be hard for harmony, or poo, to just let a conflict happen. And, if possible, to be ready to be supportive of both parties. While production, the rabbit, has fun organizing things, they need to expand their definition of fun and join in when fun presents itself. Connection, Tigger, needs to understand that fun is okay as long as it leads towards the end goal. Status quo, Eeyore, should know that change can be good, but not change for change's sake. To change takes a settled character and lots of courage. When we understand the personalities of the people that we are working with, then we can say, oh, that's his or her rabbit showing up. And they're just a big Pooh Bear. This will help you to see these personalities and to begin to connect with those people and to better understand their actions. Those actions may not always be pleasing to you, which slides us into the next guideline. It is the power of accepting the word no. A strong no helps you to maintain your personal boundaries and values. I have a device here to help you develop that no.
No! No, no, no! For the last time, no.
A salesman once said, accepting a no is an art form and moves you closer to a yes. When we say yes or receive a yes, It should be that that person is passionate about the activity and willing to help. It should not be the result of manipulation. When it is hard to say no, many of us turn to lies. Susan Shapiro Barash, author of the book Little White Lies, Deep Dark Secrets, points out that 75% of women admitted to lying, especially to loved ones, about money. I wonder if she did a survey with men. I don't know. David H. Smith, a PhD and professor of philosophy at the University of New England in Bedford, Maine, contributed to Susan's book by listing 6 reasons that people lie. 1, to save face. 2, to shift blame. 3, to avoid conflict. 4, to get their way. 5, to be nice. And 6, to make oneself feel better. When we pinpoint why and how we lie, we can stop manipulating others and thus be honest with ourselves. The potential fallout from lying and the consequences of bad behavior can only be redeemed by forgiveness. To learn how to forgive does not mean that you forget the action. Maya Angelou stated, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." The forgiveness is not for you, it's not for the other person, it's for you. John Mark Templeton stated, "Understanding that forgiveness does not mean excusing, but dwelling on past offenses contracts us rather than expands us. To be a fully functioning person, whole and free, we must release the pains of the past. You can take back your true purpose of living. You can learn to love every person on earth without exception." The best example of forgiveness is given in the book Ordinary Goodness by Edward Valjean. In his book, he recounts the killing of children. In 2006, the Amish community of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, sent their children to school with the best of hopes. They had no idea that their children would be murdered by a mad gunman. It is hard, if not impossible, to see the good in this situation. After the news of this tragedy swept across the country and the world, the Amish community met in small groups and they prayed for their lost children. But what was surprising was that they also prayed for the gunman. The courage and resiliency, togetherness of this community amazed everyone. Can you imagine how different our history would have been if on 9/11, we as Americans, collectively as Americans, could have had this like spirit? If we could ask our allies across the world to help us find those who are responsible and cut them off from all services, all benefits, all flights around the world. By the end of this terrible day, the Amish community was now requesting that everyone pray for the Roberts family. This was not only an act of forgiveness, it was an outstanding act of internal peace. The goodness of this situation is the way the Amish showed their love and support for each other. On July 12, 2019, Sadie Roberts Joseph, a community and civil rights activist in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was murdered by one of her tenants. Miss Sadie, as she was called, was beloved by everyone in Baton Rouge and across the nation for her activeness. Her motto was, "Do something. Get out of bed and do something. We only find dead people in bed." She was the founder of the Otis S. Williams African American Museum in Baton Rouge and the coordinator of the annual Juneteenth celebration. In a press conference, Miss Sadie's daughter, Angela, was asked if she was angry with Ron J. Bell. Angela replied, "I am praying for the Bell family." And then she challenged everyone to live a better life. Give of yourself to make a difference. Find a passionate work in your community and try to outwork my mother. This is the way to move towards forgiveness and peace. Nelson Mandela stated, "Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the creation of an environment where all can flourish regardless of race, color, gender, class, or any other social marker of difference." Of all the places that we desire peace, the number one place, excuse me, of all the places that we desire peace, the number one place is in our home or with your significant other. To maintain peace with those loved ones, when we interact with them, we need to ask ourselves some questions. What did I see? How do I feel about what I observe? What can I do differently? What did I learn? Strive to answer these questions honestly. It also is important to be a good listener. Listening is to listen to support, listen to encourage, always check for understanding. Focus on what is the commitment, what is the intention, the opportunity, and the possibilities. For John, in his book, suggested that we might want to rewrite some of our pledges to include, "I pledge to break down barriers of my own making or created by others," that we are expressions of our spiritual honesty, that we are creations of a higher power with our own uniqueness and importance, that we choose to see ourselves and others through the eyes of wholeness. We need to see what is working rather than what is not working. May the Spirit of life bring us peace as we change, as we grow, and as we serve our community. Thank you.
Excuse me for putting my back to you.
We're going to be doing a song, and it's not a hymn. We're going to call it a song, and the words are going to be on the screen. If you catch on to the melody and you would like to sing along, feel free to do so. Songs are very important in our lives, and I think that all of us, if we think back through our lives, we can remember a certain song when we broke up with that person, you know, or a certain song when you were going through a crisis. The Obama campaign used as their song, "Ain't No Stopping Us Now." And every time I hear that song, I picture scenes from that campaign. I want you to, if you can't sing this song, just to listen to the words, and I hope that it will inspire you to seek peace in your life.
I love myself the way I am. There's nothing I need to change. I'll always be the perfect me. There's nothing to rearrange. I'm beautiful and capable of being the best me I can. Just the way I am.
And now we will extinguish our chalice.